So overcoming in the evil day, I get to pick up where we kind of left off last time, although God changed it drastically. So it's going to be different. Please do not think, okay, you know, we're going to go through the same thing. It is very different. If you're wise, you're going to listen and you're going to take notes. Amen. Praise God. So here we go. Problems are part of life. Facing them is the art of life. That's very, very true. I heard a very remarkable man that Pastor and I have been following. This man, totally born again Christian, very, very powerful man. And he said, at best, this world is upside down. It's basically it is a counterfeit reality to what God meant for it to be all along. We went from good to evil, from light to dark. I mean, completely changed everything. And so understand that, you know, you may think, God, life is so hard. Why do I always have such a hard life? You need to understand that everybody deals with that. The entire planet, people that are rich, people that seem to not have any problems are struggling immensely themselves. There is no one that gets out of this life without having problems, amen? But how we deal with them is everything. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. Our overcoming is critical for our eternity. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Whenever I say son, you know that he is also speaking to the women, amen? We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You are not. Now this quote, God led me to it. I was led to give it to someone, but he said, put it in the message. It will bless people. You are not the darkness you endured. You're the light that refused to surrender. Ephesians 5:8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You can see in the picture, this man is emanating all this light. That is exactly how you look to God. We are beams of light walking around, keeping the darkness from taking over this planet completely. Amen. You need to understand your value. You need to understand who's inside of you. The Spirit of God, God's actual spirit, resides in each and every one of us. And he is the spirit of grace. He is the spirit of power. He is the spirit of light. He is the spirit of life. He is the spirit of love. He is an unlimited resource that we've been given. And the fact, now you need to hear this encouragement, the fact that you are here this morning shows that you are not the darkness that you've been enduring from the time we're born, really. You are the light that refused to surrender. You have refused to bow your knee to this world, to the problems, to all the trials, to the attacks. You have been overcoming. You refuse to surrender your light into the darkness. Amen. I am so proud of you. You have endured. You don't understand. You may think, I am the biggest. Blow it. I am such a mess. I am doing everything wrong. But God does not see it that way. He sees the light shining in you. And the darkness cannot overwhelm it. Amen. Glory to God. The believer's perspective of the evil day. This picture should be the way you approach every trial. The man with the sword is us. This massive being in front is God, going before us. There is no trial that he does not go into with us. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are part of his family. He is very well aware of everything that we go through. Amen. Now, this message, people, is becoming more. I stopped teaching it in 2023. And then Pastor has been teaching for over a year on Sundays. It's been a long time. And since then, it is incredibly, like, I cannot believe how much the world has changed within this time, within these months. And it's going to keep changing. And we keep telling you in love, not in fear, that things are going to get worse and worse and worse in the world. The world has no solutions. They have no love for humanity, really. So the only thing that we should be doing is not clinging to this world and being its casualty. We should be clinging to God and his kingdom. Amen? But you need this message because you're going to see things. Your children are going to see things. We're going to go through things. And we cannot lose it. We cannot walk around with like a chicken without our head. We cannot lose our humanity and our decency. You may have a cupboard with a few things you've been able to save, but what if God tells you, I'm going to be sending you a family and you will share what you have? What if he does that to us? In this hour, the only people that will survive are people that are in a community. In our case, the people that are in a church. We are a family. Swords is a family. We are a community. And lo and behold, that God might tell you, I know you only I remember, this is so true. This is a testimony that you need to hear. This was in our early days. My God, it was probably in the 1982. We had just started really going into ministry. Pastor was preparing one day for service. He did everything in the early days. He did all the praying, the teaching. He did all the praying for the sick. He prophesied. He did everything. You know, until God called me in to help this man. And so he was preparing. And my job was always to pray and get the house ready for him to be able to teach, because we had church in our home. That's how we started. And I was cleaning the house, and I always prayed in the spirit during that time. I would always have the word going on. And the Lord told me, he said, you need to go and visit Senora Luna, Mrs. Luna. It was a woman, a lady that became very close to me. My mom, she was a very good friend of my mother's. They worked together in an elementary school, and they got to know each other really well. So I would go with my mom sometimes to go and visit her. And he said, you need to take her some food. And I said, Lord, because in those days, people, when we tell you that Bill was making $5 an hour and I was staying home with the babies, it's not a lie. We are not exaggerating. So I knew we didn't have much money. I mean, if I had 10 cents in my purse, this is the honest to God truth, I would give it to Pastor. I would say, Bill, you might need this to make a call. You might need this for more gas. And I would not keep anything for myself, because that's how strapped we were. And when God said, you need to go and buy some food for Senora Luna, I'm giving you this example because lo and behold, that this is going to start happening more and more to us. Amen. And so I said, Lord, okay, I will. I mean, we're obedient. We will do whatever it takes. So I walked in and I looked at Pastor and I said, Bill, do you have any money on you? And he looked at me puzzled, because I never really asked for money. I knew he was doing his best. And he said, why? And I said, because God just told me something. Can you look? He opened up his little wallet and he had $20 in there. And I looked at the $20 and I said, that'll do. Give it to me. And he looked at me shocked, because that was what he had left, period. And the Lord, I left his room, and Bill didn't argue with me. He trusted me. And I went into the living room and I said, God, what do I do with this? He said, you're going to go to this store and I'm going to lead you. Well, I was in the store and the Lord, it was a grocery store. And I said, Lord, it's only $20, but I'll do my best with it. And he said, you need to get milk. And what I knew, what I remembered, was that Senora Luna only lived with her husband. They were a little bit older, you know, probably in their 50s, maybe 60s. And all their kids had left the house and they'd moved on. And as I was walking through the store, he said, get some milk. And I said, no, Lord, they don't even drink milk. They drink coffee. I said, I don't think we should take milk. He goes, get 2 gallons of milk. And I was shocked. So I put him in my basket. And then I was walking around and I said, Lord, I need to get tortillas. You know, they're Mexican. Mexicans eat tortillas. That'll help them with the food. And he said, no, get bread. And I said, Lord, Because I'm looking at the $20. How far is this going to go? And you want me to do a miracle here? So this is how it went throughout the story. He kept guiding me. And like three or four times I would say, no, Lord, I know that they're not going to eat this. And he would say, get it. And so I listened to him. I ended up going that day to take it to her. And when I walked in, I said hi to her. And I said, hi, I just came to visit you for a minute. I talked to her for about 5 minutes. And I said, you know, as I was praying today, the Lord told me, and she was very Catholic at the time. And I said, the Lord told me to tell you that, that he loves you and he knows your situation here. And I said, so he asked me to get you a little bit of groceries. It's not much, but I hope it blesses you. And I hope I did the right thing by the things I got. And so I went and I got like three bags, you know, full of food and stuff and the milk and the bread that I thought God really blew it in. And when I walked in, we started to put things in the counter and she starts sobbing. And she said, Evangelina, because she used to call me Evangelina. That is my actual name. I go by Eva because it's shorter for people. And she said, Evangelina, oh my God. She said, you don't even understand what this means. She said, my daughter had to leave her husband. There's a personal situation that was going on there. And she said, and they're here and she's got her two little babies. She said, and we needed milk desperately and we had no money. She said, thank you for bringing the milk, the thing that God asked me to get. And then as we continued taking things out, she was so happy. I got her beans, I got her rice, I got her onions, things that, you know, normally Mexican people, they're like staples for us. And she was sobbing and thanking me profusely. And then we came to the bread and she said, mija, she said, thank you so much. She said, you know what? In this house, we eat bread. We don't like tortillas. She said, we've never liked tortillas. Thank you so much for the bread. And God nailed it that day. What I'm trying to tell you is that this is the way we're going to have to live going forward. You never know, people. That seed has been multiplied back to us hundreds and hundreds of times since we gave it. And you may have to sow in the time of your famine. You may have to sow in the time of your need. You may have to trust God with maybe you've got five cans of beans and he says, give one of them. Maybe even to your neighbor, your next door neighbor. I've already been thinking about that because in our next door neighbor, we have an elderly couple that's even a little older than us, you know. And I'm thinking, God, if anything ever happened, you know, we should be ready to see if they need help or anything. And so going forward, you have to understand, you cannot afford for yourself to be just us four and no more. We're going to have to start thinking of others. We're going to have to start listening to God. We're going to have to start honing in our skill of giving and giving without condition and giving freely and trusting God that he sees everything. God sees everything, people. He is aware of everything, amen? So we've got to just begin to walk on water in the hour that we're in. Because remember, only a community will survive going forward. This is classic what survivalists tell you. They say if you want to survive, you must belong to a small community, not like, you know, 5,000 people. It's very hard to herd people in a crisis situation. But in your homes, in your little clans, in your little church, you know, start looking on the level of I am part of a community and make yourself a part of the community. Amen. Praise God. So this message is going to help us to understand how to behave and how to be in the hour that we're in. And the title is How to Overcome in the Evil Day. The evil day is coming. We're, you know, I've thought of this. Lord, if they drop a bomb, you're going to put a supernatural dome because in Psalms 145:9, he says that his mercy hovers. It is over all his creation. That word overall means hovers. It hovers over his creation. And I said, Lord, if they were to drop a bomb, and I'm supposed to stay here and help people and overcome, then you're going to put that supernatural dome over me and my family, our children, the people in the church, and we will survive whatever comes. Amen. And so this is how we have to go forward, is completely walking on water, trusting God. There is no place, listen to me carefully, there is no place in this world that is going to be safe. There's crime happening rampantly around the world. And our only safe place, which should have been our only safe place all along, is going to be in God and His Son Jesus, amen, and being led by the Holy Spirit. Do not think you're going to find a corner of on this planet that's not going to be untouched by the enemy. He's everywhere, and he has his agents everywhere. People that are given over to lawlessness, people that no longer love others. I mean, we are seeing this happening, you know, in the East Coast, where, you know, some of our loved ones are there, and we are witnessing how, you know, they have been left, they have been forsaken. And then we've also seen people, I saw the other day, and it made me cry, to be honest with you. This man has a business where he takes people camping. This is in Tennessee, in the mountains of Tennessee, and he'll take people on mules and horses to go up the mountain and camp. It's an experience thing. Well, he's using all his mules right now to take medicine and food to the people that are stranded in the East Coast, in Georgia, Tennessee, and North Carolina. Yes, and so people are stepping up. People are going in the gap. When others are not helping that should be helping, they are stepping in. And that's how we're going to have to be, people. If you are a child of God, you must think of others. You cannot hang on to your miserable little 5 cans of beans and say, Lord, this has to last us. We can't give this away. I have children. I have to be able to feed them. God may say, I need you to give 1 or 2 of those away. Because why? He intends to give it back to you and so much more supernaturally. Amen. That little boy that had the 2 fish and the 5 loaves, Jesus lifted it up before heaven, gave thanks for it. He blessed it. People, they took up 12 baskets. What that little boy sowed into that, they fed probably about 10,000 people, because there was women and children there as well, and over 5,000 men alone from 2 fish, and 5 loaves. So we've got to understand that God's way is not our way. Our way is to hoard. Our way is to hide. Our way is to not let anybody know what we have. God's way is, no, every life matters to me. I created them. So if I ask you to give, it's because I intend to give you back that plus 100. Amen? And God always operates on this, people. I hope you can see me. It's the open hand policy. With God, He wants you to have your hand extended to Him, so that He can place in your hand the blessings, your prosperity, all of that. But He also wants you to have your hand extended so that you are free to give to others. It's an open hand policy. Amen? You have to understand, people. Talk about community. For God, His family is His everything. As I've been teaching in the relationship seminars, family and relationships are everything. Amen? So here we go. Take notes. If something in this message hits you that now I have to work on this, I am asking you, please, work on this now. Work on this now. What if you're cut off? What if they drop an EMP and we're cut off from each other? You can't call pastors. You can't call that strong Christian in swords that you know can also get results. You can't call on other churches because it's collapsed. Now you have to invest in yourself and strengthen yourself. Whatever is weak, whatever is feeble, make it strong, because those weaknesses are going to hinder your race. You will not be able to finish. Amen. So here we go. Number one, the minute the trial starts, whatever it is, sickness, disease, an EMP, whatever, World War III, which we're basically in right now, people, if you don't know this. But the minute the trial starts, I must make the critical choice. It's a critical choice to you. I will either trust God from the very beginning and cry out to him for help, or I will lean on the arm of man and myself, or maybe even leave it up to chance. This is, in all my 45 years of ministry, this is what I've seen. People either turn to God, or they end up trusting medicine, or the government, or the military in the United States, whatever it is that you're trusting, or leave it up to chance. People don't even start to the process of getting the victory. Whatever happens, happens. Especially if you are a little foolish Christian that believes that God is completely in control. God is not completely in control. We have taught you this over and over again. The minute God gave Adam free will, it was for all mankind. You have free will. You are actually calling most of the shots in your life, but many people refuse to take accountability. So, are you going to call on God the minute you are in a trial? 2 Samuel 22:2. The Lord is my rock. This is how we are to be talking. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Period. The God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I'm going to stay a little bit on this one section of absolutely turning to God when the trial first hits. You could be in an office and they tell you, well, we are very sorry, but we found cancer in your body. Or you've got multiple sclerosis, or you got this weird disease, or whatever. You know, I heard a powerful testimony, and I did send it to you guys, about this man who had cardiac failure. His heart was operating at something like 88%. God, this man is completely delivered, working out, all of that. You know, he turned to God in his hour of need. Amen? What are some of my enemies? Because it says up here, you save me from violence, and I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When we call on God, you will be saved from your enemies, people. All of it. Whoever is your enemy. And let's look at this. What are some of my enemies? Certainly, Satan and his demons are some of our enemies. Amen? Now, death, in any of its forms, is our enemy. Sickness, disease, mental health issues. Right now, we are in an epidemic of mental health issues because people are not coping with the times that we're living in. Depression, anxiety, insomnia, you name it, people are being afflicted. Also, feebleness, when your body seems weak and you are not able to function, you're not able to work and live your life. And then decaying of our bodies. Our bodies are in this world, and everything in this world is falling apart and decaying because of the curse of the law, because of the fall. So you have to fight against your body decaying. Sometimes I'll go to get up and I'm like, oh my God, what is going on here? It's my body wanting to just decay. I don't think so. Not on my watch. And my husband will tell me, do you need help, baby? And I'm like, no, I'm going to get up. I'm getting up. What the heck? So you got to fight. These are our enemies. Amen. And I always call on God, and I'll say, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. And then, of course, pain. You may have pain in your body. That's an enemy, because that's not supposed to be there. God is our healer, and the minute he paid for our sins on the cross, he also paid for all of our sicknesses and diseases. So that pain is trespassing. Amen? Sickness and disease is trespassing. You know, somebody trying to break into your house, that's trespassing. That's an enemy. And this is what God will save us if we call upon him first before you do anything else. If somebody tried to break into my house, you know what I would do? The very first thing is I would scream out to God. I would call on God and then dial 911. Amen. Every time when I go to doctors, which sometimes seems quite a lot these days, when I go to a doctor, I always call on God first. God, you will help me have good news. Father, I thank you. You're with me in this lab work or whatever it is. I always bring God first. I don't wait to hear the bad news and then go into that. Amen. Like I have been binding cancer off of my husband, my children, my grandchild, and you, the church. I have been binding cancer for years off of you. Amen. I'm not going to wait till somebody says, oh, guess what? I have cancer. No, I'm already lifting a standard constantly against those foul things. Amen. Persecution. We're going to see that ramp its evil head really big in this day and hour. You know, right now, Christians, we're allowed to express, we're allowed to speak. There's going to come a time when that's going to be very difficult. I went to Russia 4 times. And let me tell you, they were very much still in, it was in 1995, 1994, 1993. In those days, they were still very much underground. We had to smuggle in some Bibles and things like that. You weren't completely free to just speak about Jesus everywhere you went. Amen? And so persecution is going to hit, and this is where you call out on God to help you. You know, there are a few people that will be martyred, but don't volunteer for that. We need you here. Amen? Don't sit there and say, God, I think it's better for me to go, and, you know, they're trying to kill Christians, so maybe I should just go. No! You fight that persecution and stay here where you're needed. Amen? Earthly enemies who would do us any harm. Certainly, it's growing. It's expanding. You know, let's not get into the details of it because I know that there's some children listening. But just understand that any person who would do you any harm is an enemy. Poverty and lack and destitution. Listen, Jesus takes care. He told us in his word that he feeds the sparrows. And you know, a bird eats 8 times their weight every single day. And he feeds them and he's aware of them and he takes care of them. And he said, how much more are you not more worthy than a sparrow? Amen. So, as you know, hey, let me tell you, if for any reason I didn't have a roof over my head, I would look at it almost as fun. I get to go camping. God gets to take care of me out in his beautiful wilderness. Always look for the silver lining. We have to walk away from our beautiful multi-million dollar house and we're leaving all our goods and we can only carry a little bag. Oh my God, you know what that's called? Freedom. You just entered into real freedom. You don't have to worry about all that stuff. Amen? People, it's all about perspective, and we will be talking about perspective. And then things that are sent to stop our progress, especially spiritually, that cause us to feel inferior. Some of you should be faith giants by now, but oh no, I'm not, you know, where Bill and Eva are. Who are we? We're just supposed to be your older brother and sister showing you how to do it. Step up, amen? Step up to the plate. You've got the same God in you that I have. The same miracles can be happening in your house, amen? Glory to God. But things that cause you to feel inferior, shameful, guilty, condemned. All of that comes from not letting go of that stinky little old nature. Let it go. Shed it like an old, disgusting, filthy coat. Amen? You know, it's so funny. To me, it's like we have this beautiful garment underneath. Like, let's just carry it so you understand it. A ball gown for a woman, where it's just beautiful and sequenced and it's classy and gorgeous and very expensive. Some dresses can run up to hundreds of thousands of dollars, people. But over it, you have this disgusting, putrefied coat. And you're hanging on to the coat. Take it off and shed the robe of righteousness that you have. Stop feeling inferior, amen? And shameful and guilty. Oh my God, listen. None of us are worthy to stand in any position of power or authority or be anything in the kingdom of God. None of us do. not the holiest minister that walks this planet right now. You know how we're able to do it? We did this. We simply shed the old man and said, God, you have given me a robe of righteousness. Why am I looking back at what I've done in the past? God is all about today and the future. Today and the future. Today and the future. He does not look back. That's spilled milk. That's water under the bridge. It's already happened. So God takes you today and going forward. So I don't want to see any more old, disgusting, shredded, falling apart, decrepit coats on you. I want to see that robe of righteousness shine. Shine on you because you have become the righteousness of God. Let go of these silly memories, amen? Let go of your past. I'm telling you, Pastor and I, we have lived the most remarkable Christianity. We have seen miracles left and right. Right now, God is quickening the giftings in me, and he's giving me words for people, and it's just blowing me away. You know how we do it? By taking off the past. By taking off the past. We're getting to the place now where anything happens. If we blow it, you know, and we do like everybody else, if we mess up or whatever, we just pick ourselves right up and keep going. We're not going to stop for anything. Amen. So shameful, guilty, condemned, not being enough. I'm not enough. I'm not enough. Well, welcome to the club. All we are is a vessel. Bill and I, that's all we are. It is the glory of God that fills us. It is the word of God that makes us strong. It is the authority of God that we walk in that has made the difference. I come to you empty. Paul said that. I stand before you with meekness and trembling. That's how we are. But we refuse to be stopped by anything, and you need to become the same way. Because lo and behold, you can't get a hold of us, and an emergency happens, and you got to pray for someone. And all this time, you yielded to that old disgusting coat, and you kept looking at yourself as this pauper, as this degenerate from the past, and now you're not going to be able to step in and help someone. That's pretty selfish to me. You know, Pastor and I, we live a very unselfish life because we can't even afford to have pity on ourselves. We got to be ready for others. Amen? Glory to God. Not being enough. These are the things that ultimately send us into a counterfeit life. Feeling condemned, feeling not good enough, feeling inferior. That's all. That's all absolute paths to a counterfeit life, as opposed to the life that God has for you. Amen? A true believer, now, please listen. We're talking about a true believer knows that crying out to God in the midst of the trial and the evil day is the most important thing he could ever do. Look at this picture. I love this picture. We are lambs. We are God's sheep. And there is the lion of the tribe of Judah standing right behind us. What demon, what foe could ever come against us? So in the pure nature of his sonship, he will always run to his maker and his God, his faithful, his savior, his helper, his deliverer. Psalms 56:9. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. Oh my God, people, you should be taking pictures of the screens because you need these scriptures. I love these scriptures. And we call upon God and our enemies turn away from us. Psalms 57:2. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. Cry out to God. He will perform all things for you. Amen. Even if it has to do with your family or others, he will perform them when you cry out to him. Glory to God. He's faithful. And you know what? God is really precious. He likes keeping a perfect track record. He loves it. His whole thing with me is, when have I ever failed you? He does. He reminds me, Eva, when have I ever failed you? And that's God. That's how he wants to be with you. Amen. So why should I choose God? Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? 2 Samuel 22:5. When the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. Your initial response will be to be afraid when you see the trial coming or when the trial reaches you. The sorrows of Sheol, of hell, surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. In my distress. See, it's easy to call upon God when everything's perfect and, oh, God, I love you. I worship you, Lord. You're so good. But when you're running around like a chicken without your head and calamity has struck or whatever, or you have evil news, then you have to understand that in that moment, in your distress, is when you call to him. You call out to God. So, and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple. God will always hear your voice. And my cry entered his ears. Your words, your voice will reach God's ears. Just make sure that you are in faith, because he can only hear faith. He does not bother with us being completely desperate, screaming, crying, and do not go to God saying, why me, Lord? Why them, Lord? Or, yeah, God, you're in control. Why are you allowing this? Do not go to God with any of that. What God hears is faith. I mean true faith. You can think you're in faith and not be in faith. How can we secure that we are in faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You live in the word. Amen. And I'm talking about devouring chunks of the righteousness that's found. You know, righteousness, your right standing with God, is called the meat of the gospel. You don't want to sit there and have little crackers and a tiny little milk. You know, that some of these messages that people are listening to, I can't believe it. Talk about a waste of time. And then worse than that, you're feeding yourself weakness. You want to listen to a message or to the word directly, of course, always. And devour that meat of the gospel. Amen? Because you're a warrior. How far can a warrior go on a 26-mile hike and then fight the enemy if he's drinking a little cup of milk and crackers? That's what a weak message will do to you. You've got to eat the very essence of God from the word. Amen? Glory to God. So verse 14, and my cry entered his ears. The Lord thundered from heaven. I love that. And the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them. Lightning bolts, and he vanquished them. That means they were vaporized. Amen. Glory to God. 2 Samuel 22:17. He sent from above. See, when you cry out to God, you've now reached the resources of heaven. God allows you to go into his warehouse. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me. For they were too strong for me. There will be things, people, that in our own power, in our own strength, we cannot overcome. That's why we must have God. Look at this beautiful picture of God and his power. And then verse 19, they confronted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. You know, I don't know if you know this, but God delights in you. Oh my gosh, I so delight in my children and in my grandchild. They are my delight. They are so precious to me. I mean, I can't believe that God gave us these two amazing children and then this grandchild. I delight in them. Can you imagine? In my imperfection, I can do that. How much more God delights in us. We are his children. Amen. 2 Samuel 22:29. For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. A troop is a herd of soldiers. Amen. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. And lo and behold, that one day we may have to. I'm serious. Just remember this scripture. Lord, there's a bunch of people coming. I can run against them. You will make me invisible. They will not even see me. And I'm going to run through those people, and then I'm going to leap over that wall. Count on the supernatural power of God, because he is right there. There is nothing God cannot do. 31. As for God, his way is perfect. This is why you need God. His way is perfect. It's complete. There is nothing that God lacks. Nothing he cannot do. No one he cannot save. No circumstance that he cannot reverse. God is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. It is tested and tried. This is why we urge you to get in the word every day. Word on CD. Listen to the word as much as you can. Why? So that you learn the scriptures. And then when you need them, you can stand on them and you will prove the word that it works. There's not one scripture that we haven't stood on that wasn't proven to fulfill what it said. The word of God is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Here is our dilemma. How much do we trust in God? Do you have all these options like the doctor, the medicine, the procedure, the surgery? Oh yeah, and God. When you make God everything in any trial, then he will pull through. If you have to have an operation, he'll bring you through. If you have to take medicine, he will protect you. Amen? So you want God first and foremost. So he is a shield to all who trust in him. 2 Samuel 22:47. Look at this picture. I will make thine enemies thy footstool. God will put the enemy under your feet, people. Let's look at the scripture. The Lord lives. Do you know that? Some of you walk around like God doesn't live, like he doesn't exist. That's why you're always sad. That's why you're depressed. It's because you don't believe. You do not believe that God lives. If you believe that God lives, oh my God, Bill and I, we're getting so excited about the times that we're in. We're getting excited about going home. We're getting excited about the rapture. And if not the rapture, we're getting excited about shedding this old body. It's just a transition. That's all it is for a believer. You know, actually, it's for an unbeliever too, except their place is a horrible, horrible, horrible place. So the Lord lives. Say that with me right now. The Lord lives. So blessed be my rock. Is he your rock? Or are you standing on sinking sand? See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya if you're standing on sinking sand. Stand on the rock. Whatever you're going through, call on the Lord so you'll be on the rock. So let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. It is God who avenges me. Are you out there trying to get even with people? Are you carnally approaching life like that? Or are you letting God avenge you because you've turned the whole thing over to him? It is God who avenges and subdues the people under me. God, if let's say it's your husband, ladies, and he's giving you a really hard time. He's going through his stuff. You know, he's overwhelmed, he's frustrated, he's angry, all of that. Well, God will subdue him under you. God will bring peace into your family. And the same for you men, especially for women when we go through a certain time in life, you know, the midlife thing. Yes, it's very difficult for us. We get deranged. We're not even aware of how we're behaving. It's horrible. We go through depression. We're anxious. We don't sleep right. The hot flashes. We feel horrible. Well, God will subdue your woman when you cry out to God and say, Lord, help us in our home to keep peace. Amen. Now, 49, he delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. This right here, people, this scripture is critical to you. There are very violent men in the world and in our planet, in our country. Somebody has, please unmute yourself because you're. I can hear you. Make sure you're unmuted. I mean that you're muted, sorry.
I'll take care of it.
Okay. Pastor is doing it. Okay, there we go. So he delivers me from the enemy, from the violent man. And ladies, you know, this day and hour, you know, it's becoming a little unsafe to go out there by ourselves. You know, putting gas is a faith project now. All kinds of silly things are happening. And I'm telling you, people, unfortunately, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Amen. That's why the Lord is going to come for the remnant. For the remnant. You must be sure that you're part of the remnant. Amen. It's one third of the body of Christ. Those are the ones that are truly living for God, walking for God, living the word, making God their all in all, no matter what happens in their lives. Loving God above anything else, ready to leave everything you own, everyone you know, if you have to follow God. That's the remnant. Putting everything on the line for God is the remnant. Amen. So he will deliver us from the violent man. That's my prayer. I'm going to be praying that over my doorpost. Father, no violent man will ever cross our threshold. Father, no violent man will ever come near me or my husband or my children or my grandchild or the church. You know, you're so blessed to have Bill and I as your pastors. You know why? Because we are not selfish with our prayers. Whatever I pray for my family that I love so dearly, I pray for you. Because I tell people, I don't have two children. I have like 130 kids. I have many kids. And I pray for you like I'm praying for my own children. But anyway, back to this, you know, no violence will come near us. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. And again, look at this little lamb. You may feel like you're like that, like a little lamb, but look at the ravishing wolves. They're not going to get near you. God's going to look at the hand of God protecting you. You're going to step on the heads of your enemies before this is over. Amen. Praise God. Here. Number two, check your perspectives. This is very important. When the trial hits, what are your perspectives on it? How are you looking at the trial? Oh, poor me. I didn't think this would happen to me. Look, they never have any problems. It's always me. Why me, Lord? What are you trying to teach me, Lord? You're in control. Why did you let this happen to me? Oh, my God, people. Don't ever say that in front of me. Amen. I will wake you up. So what are your thoughts and attitudes about the trial? Are you going into a pity party and then trying to invite all your friends to your pity party? You won't believe what's happening to me. Oh my God, did I tell you what the doctor said? Are you going around telling everybody? You know how Pastor and I function? When we go through something, we keep it to ourselves. He and I. There's so many things Pastor has gone through and has overcome all on his own that he never told me about. And vice versa with me. There are many times I get an agreement with him And there are times when I pray for my husband if he lets me know. Amen? But are you going around inviting people to your pity party? How do you feel about overcoming? Oh my God, forget it. This is, they told me that I have this rare disease. They don't know what to do. There's no medicine. There's no nothing. How do you feel about overcoming? When you overcome, there's nothing that you can't tackle. You're going to overcome no matter what it takes. Amen? You're going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then whether God will even be involved in this trial at all. So many people, once you go into self-pity, let me tell you something. God's not going to show up to that party. He's not going to show up to your pity party. I'm sorry. God doesn't have time for pity parties. He shows up to see the band of warriors together interceding and flames of fire coming out of them. And he shows up as the fourth man in the fiery furnace. And he will see to it that not even the smell of smoke comes on you. Amen. Don't ever, ever approach to God with, why me? I'm telling you, people, nothing was more grieving to God than that type of spiritual ignorance. Isaiah 31:1. Woe to those who go down to Egypt, to the world for help, and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. Now, let me make a distinction here. You may need to have a procedure done. You may need to go to a doctor. You may need to have surgery. We are not talking about saying, no, it's only going to be me and God, and if I die, I die. No, that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is bring God in to the picture. And if you feel in your heart that having surgery is going to be needful for you, do it. Pray, and God will bring you through all of it. That's what this means. Amen? You're not relying on them. You're relying on God. And you are using the best of medicine or the best that man can offer, but you are not relying on them. I never, ever rely on any doctor. There's a doctor that prescribed me some medication. I'll even tell you, just real quickly, this will help somebody. So cholesterol, she wanted me to have it. You can't be above 100 in your cholesterol. This particular lab that I did, it was 101. And I've shown her how I reverse things constantly. I work on myself. I eat properly. I get good sleep and so on. And I always bring my numbers down and so on. Well, she got in an uproar. It's 100. I'm going to put you on a statin. Well, I shouldn't have said that. I'm going to put you on this medication. And you got to take it. I do not want you not to be without this. Well, I have learned not to trust the arm of man. I'm going to trust God. So I did my research and I said, God, lead me to the truth of this medicine. And I found out that this medicine actually destroys your heart. It doesn't help your heart. It's counterbalanced. And guess what I found out? That we actually need cholesterol. That number is too low for the health of your body. You need meat. You need to eat meat. Meat has these very powerful amino acids and minerals and vitamins. You actually need steak meat. And that's what my doctor was saying. You want to stay away from a lot of that. You need eggs. They have tremendous nutritional value. So if you're going to trust man completely, you're going to be in a little bit of a trouble because man is not perfect. Only the ways of God are perfect, as we just read. Amen? So praise God. Let's read this. We already read that. So don't lean on the arm of man. Amen. And then having the right mental attitude for the trial. And we're going to stop with this. James 1:2. This is how you should approach any trial, people. Consider it nothing but joy. I know it's counterintuitive. It does not make sense. It sounds almost ignorant. Consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials. What? I like it When it's smooth sailing, I like it when the sun is shining. I don't like the storms of life. I don't like problems. When you understand, you know, a warrior, he loves making the battle. He was designed and created for battle. It is the little civilian that's completely at the mercy of anything that comes, who needs the warrior to protect him, that is in real trouble. But a warrior knows they can take care of whatever's showing up, whatever is happening. So consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials. Be assured that the testing of your faith through experience of the trial produces endurance. I hate to tell you this, but you do not get strong unless you're having resistance. Resistance training, that's lifting up weights. That's how your muscles get strong. When everything is going well, you're getting all mushy and weak. But when you're constantly in a battle posture, then you're strong. You're using your muscles. Well, Pastor Eva, if I'm doing good, how am I going to be making battle? For others. Exercise your spiritual muscles for others. Pray for others. Be there for others. So the testing of your faith produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. Let me tell you, in 1983, when I was fighting for my life, that's exactly what happened to me. I got so spiritually mature. I came out of that furnace in 1 year. It took me to get the victory. I came out of that furnace, people, a totally changed person, a warrior, an animal. I love ripping the devil apart because I know who goes with me. I have his full authority given to me, Luke 10:17, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. And that's why I volunteer to pray. I love to pray. When you call me, I jump on it, because to me, it's devouring the enemy. Amen? And I love it. It's spiritual maturity. I have that inner peace. I know that God hears me every time. And I know that I know that the victory is guaranteed. Verse 4, and let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work, so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith. And when you are developed in your faith, you're going to be lacking nothing. You will not lack anything. Verse 5, you know, your faith can get you anything. Mark 11:23-24. The prayer of agreement, for whatever two or three agree as touching anything on this earth, it will be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Your faith is, you should be living day and night to develop your faith, because then you will be lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, for what? For the battle, especially for the trial. If any of you lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is to ask of our benevolent God, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame. God will never look down on you and say, Eva, what's wrong with you? You've been serving me for 45 years. You know the word. What is wrong with you? Why can't you handle this one on your own? Never, ever, ever, ever has God made fun of me. He has compassion on you in your hour of need. You can go to God and say, God, this is over my head. How do I handle this? How do I get the victory here? Amen? God is good, people. Again, how well do you know God? God is good and only good. Amen? So, if any of you lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is to ask of our benevolent God, our good God, kind God, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. Count on that wisdom. Count on your faith bringing it in. Amen. But he must ask for wisdom in faith, without doubting God's willingness to help. You cannot doubt God's willingness to help. Will God help me? You know, I haven't been very good. I haven't been in the Word as much as I should be. I haven't been praying. You know what, people? God's goodness does not depend on you and who you are. It does not depend on how good you've been or how lousy you've been. Thank God the goodness of God depends on Him and His nature. You can always turn to God, especially when you're in a dark time, in your hour of need. Jesus literally said, I didn't come for the healthy and those that are doing great. I came for those that are sick and that are not doing well at all. Amen? So if you doubt God's willingness to help, you're going to have issues. Like when I was going to have emergency surgery to remove my gallbladder. Listen, I'm laying there in that gurney. I have not been in the Word like I normally have been. I was not praying as much as I was. And I started going into that little condemnation. And I remember laying there, and then the righteousness of God rose up in me. And all I said was, as they were tying me up to my arms on each side, all I remember saying is, God, you love me. You love me. And the next thing I know is they're slapping me in the face, waking me up. It was all over. Completely flew through that, because I trusted on God's willingness to help me, because He loves me. And then for the one who doubts, be careful of this. Do not be the one that doubts of God's willingness to help. For the one that doubts is like a billowing surge of the sea that is blown about and tossed by the wind. For such a person ought not to think or expect that he will receive anything at all from the Lord. Being a double-minded man, unstable and restless in all his ways, in everything he thinks, feels, or decides. Be very careful of your emotions. Your emotions can become your worst enemy in the midst of a trial. Fear. You're feeling inferior. You're feeling like you deserve it. You feel like God is judging you. All of those things. Do not allow them to make you become double-minded and unstable, because you will receive nothing from the Lord. Amen. Glory to God, people. We're going to stop here.